So to call a movie named Maniac nuts, like literally just to say Maniac is nuts, is kind of maybe too much on the nose. So
you know what I mean?
Like, or it could be an obvious statement. I don't know.
Well, this director like made his made his bread and butter off of making movies with the title Maniac in it, because there's Maniac, Maniac Cop, Maniac Cop 2, and then Maniac Cop 3.
You sounded like a 1940s newsie trying to sell me a newspaper on the corner right now when you just said Maniac like four times.
Which is extra funny because I'm holding like a little notepad that they would have had in their hands or in their hat.
Wow. He's got notes, folks.
Actually, I used to have a report like a that style fedora, whatever the fuck that specific type of hat was.
Look, we've done 7 nights already into Summer Slash, and we're slashing our way through the charts. We love you, fans. You're tuning in with us. Apparently, you love slasher movies, which is kind of weird because we're like an ultra-violent society. Like humans, humans have entered like a really savage. Techno savage era, which is funny because like, oh yeah, let's just review a bunch of slasher movies over the summer. Like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. As the whole world, is
oh god, and then the world just keeps getting worse. I'm like, oh my god. Man.
But well, it's almost like, you know, but then if you talk about escapism, like all the violence on television is like completely fake.
Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers podcast.
It's all these videos that are ruining children or...
Oh, fuck off with that argument. Come the fuck on. There's been violence forever.
I'm saying, but it's a classic argument, right? Like, since Atari. Like, Atari Pong. The kids are playing Pong. They're gonna get stoned. Or Super Mario's jumping through tubes on Nintendo. You know, they're not gonna get their homework done. Or, like... I remember, I think when Doom came out, it was, like, one of those shoot-em-up games. They're like, oh, that's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, the thing is access. I mean, but the whole thing is like, I don't want a government police force like that. That scares me more than every once in a while having a real life maniac go around and like something terrible happens in society. And then meanwhile, we're watching a bunch of scary movies. But the whole thing is like, you know that the person on screen isn't really hacking his way through a bunch of people. And it's kind of like, it's like metal. It's like listening to metal music. Like I was talking to somebody earlier today, and like they're like a secret metal fan, and I was like, yeah, it's interesting. Like. You know, it's always the quiet ones, David. And then you end up with a movie like Maniac. No, I'm just kidding. There's no direct correlation. Although, like, Brian Posehn, I really think Brian Posehn might be holding back on some secret rage. You know what I mean? Like he's just, like, one of those guys that looks like he's ready to snap internally. But I don't even know if he's touring right now. I know he has a podcast and stuff, but, like, he plays D&D on a podcast with his friends, but...
Yeah, I don't know. He's somebody I haven't heard about a lot, or you know, like, or I mean, I mean to say lately.
Oh, you know what?
I didn't know
he had
a podcast.
He was on a show on USA, actually.
Was he really?
Yeah, a show about assassins, which is based on like on a comic book. What the hell was the name of that show?
Burn Notice?
No.
I don't know, dude. I don't watch
this
USA.
This is about like this is an ultra-violent comic book adapted. It's about assassins. Like the kids are just like they go to a high school filled with assassins, like a private school. And the main character gets dumped there after they speculate that he burned down like a foster home, but he didn't actually do it. Some maniac that he was in the room with did it, and then like that becomes like the you know the antagonist of the show or whatever is like he's coming after him for revenge because the main character tried to burn him. You know what I mean? Tried to get rid of that guy. You know.
Huh.
But whatever. I don't know. I forget what the hell the name of that. Oh, class something. Class of like something. It's funny because it seems to borrow a lot from that movie. Like, remember, was it Class of 1984, that movie?
Fuck yeah, I love that movie.
So it borrows a lot of style from that movie, you know? Anyway, but I guess if we're talking about maniacs, we should really get to what we're talking about. There's a movie in New York in 1980 called Maniac, and it looks like the guy who played the dude, worked on the screenplay. Like, he helped work on the story.
Yeah, he's like a New York character actor. He's definitely got like a fucking unique face.
Oh, he's great in this movie, but you know what's funny? I kind of look like him. He has like my hairline. Like,
I mean, I guess I could see that part of it, but I mean, the face structure itself doesn't. I don't see it, but I don't know. Maybe I just don't want you to be a maniac. Maybe that's what it is. Because what is his name? Joe Spinelli?
Yeah, something like that. Let me look at the. I got it written down. I got this thing. His name is. Yeah, Joe Spinell, who is playing Frank Zito. And Zito's a callback to the guy Joe Zito who directed this other movie that we watched.
The Prowler.
Yeah, The Prowler.
I saw that in the credits. So I'm like, isn't that the director of... Or is that the director? But no.
And that's how they set it up. They wanted to, like, I don't poke fun at the director's name. Or and Savini is the connection, right? Because he did, you know, the makeup effects on both movies. But... this is like one of the first entries in like an ultra violent movie, like a hyper, like the violence is hyper real, like almost anime style violence. Like it's not
there.
Right?
Well, this is also like a lot of the slashers we've been watching are like, you know, based teenagers and fucking like, yeah, you. This is one of the first ones, if not the first one of the series we've watched, where it's like, oh, this is gruesome. There's not. Let me be clear. It's a good movie. I really like this movie, but can you call it fun?
No, but you know what the weird polarization is of this movie? You watch this guy, like, live two lives, and it's a classic study of a... like, what these filmmakers are doing is, like, their version of, like, the FBI profiler list of, like, what they think, like, the mind of a serial killer is, like, or whatever. Because they got, like, the BTK killer set up in this movie. Like, it feels like that. It's like the Green River killer or whatever. Like, this guy... Mm-hmm. Or even Gacy, before they found him, like, when he was just, like, a traveling salesman. It's, like, the same thing. It's, like, he's an everyman during the day. And then, like, and he has, and in the movie, what's unusual is, like, he actually is trying to maintain a relationship with a female. Unlike the other people in the other movies, like, where they can't get to that level at all.
Right.
So, at the end of this movie, spoiler alert, because generally the killers die, but spoiler alert, okay? You know, this is pretty good. We got to 7 minutes. Usually we don't get to like maybe five and then you get spoiled. Spoiler alert. So skip ahead if you don't want to hear it or go ahead and binge with us on this one. I'm using that term for everything now. It doesn't even really apply, but fuck it. It will change the meaning. Or the euphemism, whatever. Apple's going to cut that out. They're going to find that F word. It's going to be dirty, dirty. At the end of the movie, you're, like, sympathetic to when he's getting, like, when he's, like, I don't know what to say, when the killer's getting killed. I don't know how to spoil this correctly without, like, really spoiling it. There's a psychedelic freakout at the end of the movie, just like we watched a couple other movies, and it's, like, the victims attack the killer. And,
right.
But this one's kind of brutal, but for some reason, like, when you watch this one, I say this with a grain of salt. It's just a movie. I wouldn't condone this stuff in real life, obviously, but the movie does its only job, which is to show you the perspective of a character to follow. Granted, they chose somebody who, one, you're either going to despise, or two, you're gonna pity and think they're a terrible human being, or three, like, dare I say it, like, if you're, like, what if you fall into the category of, like, sympathizing with the character? That's the danger of this movie. Not the fact that he's going around killing women, but by the end of the movie, you're like, oh, you don't want him to get chopped into pieces. How did that happen?
I don't know if I can say that. I'm trying to wrestle with that. I don't know if I can say I sympathized. I mean, I guess in some sense I could say that to a degree, just because he clearly needs some fucking help. Like, I mean, take the killing aside. He's definitely fucked in, or, you know, he's going through some issues, emotional issues. I mean, fill in the blanks through the movie. I mean, they show you he was clearly abused as a child. You see burn marks on him, scars. I'm assuming they're like cigarette or cigar burns or just scars from
you. That's the danger of these movies, is like once you start to sympathize with a murderer, right? But then the other thing is like these characters are sympathetic until they cross a line. All these movies. Right? Like, they all have terrible childhoods, and then, but then at some point, like, they're no longer victims, they're victimizers, right?
Right. So he goes fucking far. I mean, I saw recent, before I think we even set up the series, I think I saw a video or something where they were talking about, like, disgusting horror movies or whatever, and this came up, and they said, like, you know, it's like if you just, if I can't remember how they phrased it, but they're like, it's just the dirtiest, I mean, like, grimiest movie, and you want to take a shower after, and that's kind of appropriate. Well, I mean, it is. It pulls no punches.
I want to go back to humanizing the villains, because I was just thinking about this, like, in society, we have this hard time grappling with, like, other humans doing horrible, horrendous things, but then at the end of the day, that was a human that did that, right? So we have, like, these archetypes. We have these devilish archetypes where they become monsters in our eyes, right? And, like, they're, like, it's, like, something else. And then we have, like, you know, supernatural superstitions, or, like, we could add this mythology behind it or something. But I'm like, no, that's, like, you could be, like, waiting in line to get a sandwich at Subway, and the guy next to you could have 10 dead people in his trunk. You know, right. Or the back of his ice cream truck. You know what I'm saying? Like,
The Subway killer.
Yeah, the Subway killer. Yeah, your sandwich artist. Killer. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, your sandwich artist could be a maniac. You know, but then again, like, these movies, like, clearly define, like, just criminal insanity, right? Like,
right.
You've snapped and you've gone past the line you can't take back, the murder line. Like, oh, man. Well, that's like those Japanese horror movies, right? Like those guinea pig films or whatever, where the filmmaker, like, made these really ultra-violent, like...
Oh, yeah. Those were just basically exercises in showing, like, oh, how real can we make this look? Like, those...
Right, but
I know what you're talking about. There's, like, no story to them other than a makeup.
It's just gratuitous. But then that director was getting, like, love letters from a serial killer. And, like, the reason Japan found the serial killer was because the director agreed to meet him or something, right? And it was like a sting operation. So, and who knows, Dave? I mean, we just watched a movie, right? With, like, technically a stalking serial killer. And who the hell knows? We'll tag this, and Google will send this out. It'll be tagged murder, death, kill, horror movies. And who knows? Maybe the next BTK is listening to you right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know?
Blame it on the movie itself, not the podcast.
Oh, yeah. that would be nuts. You're there's like a brutal teenage slayings in like the Midwest or something, or like Ohio or something, and like they're like, you know, why'd you do it, Steve? And he's just like, binge watchers podcast. And you're just like, oh,
motherfucker.
Oh shit. we wanted ratings, but that's not the kind of rating. Then like all the reviews are like, 5 stars. This podcast got somebody to murder. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, then you go, oh yeah, society really is fucked. We're completely detached from each other. Nothing matters. But continue to download our podcast in iTunes and wherever else it's available. Like,
right.
You know, like,
I mean, I will
blame
say
you for this discussion, David, because I'm talking about sympathizing with a murderer, but that's the entire fucking movie. And so
I will say, I don't know if I fully got sympathetic. I mean, there are moments, but then, like you said, then he'll go do something so heinous, like, okay, well, that went out the window. I get it. I get what it's going for. But I think to the actor's credit, he plays it so creepy that, you know, I don't know. I can't quite totally get on his side. Although I will say, this has one of the few, like, this has one of the few, like, scenes where the killer actually has immediate remorse. There's a scene where he strangles the hooker in the hotel room, and then he goes and throws up. Well, I mean, he strangles and then scalps her. But, you know, he throws up, which, like, shows, like, he's not totally without empathy.
You know what, David? You just scared me. Do you know why?
Why?
As you're talking, I'm thinking about Obsessed fans, and what did we get the other day? Like, we got somebody that wanted us to listen to his, like, the weirdest channel ever on SoundCloud. You remember that? Dude, I sent you a screenshot, the Satan Radio 333 or what, like, whatever that was.
You
already forgot that guy. Did you ever go to did you go to a SoundCloud channel?
I don't think I did. I know I didn't.
It's pretty scary, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't. I might end up on a watch list.
Wow.
And not on Netflix.
Yeah. Well, I mean, literally, Google has this new index for podcasts, and it's like, a podcast with horror movies, a podcast with this. Like, literally, it's pulling audio. I'm pretty sure its algorithm is now pulling audio out of people's podcasts. So, everything you just said, you're on a list anyway, buddy. You know, you're already on a list.
Well, sure. But I don't want to get on the list of, you know, let's have suspects of, I don't know. You know. Although I want to
say,
going
Blockbuster
back,
should have done to stay in business. They should have just given the government data on what movies people were watching. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this guy, he checked out Maniac. He checked out Maniac Cop. He checked out Bay of Blood. He checked out you know, and it just goes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
God,
yeah.
And Babe, he likes talking pig movies.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Fucked up.
Yeah, Pippi Longstocking. You know, like something like that. Oh man, they gotta remake that. Where's the next Pippi Longstocking movie, man?
I don't know. She's probably due for a remake because, you know, it seems like they cart out everything that's old every so often.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, we've been doing Summer Slash all summer, and it's kind of grinding down. Like, I've been going to the beach a lot, so I'm like, and here I am listening to podcasts about slasher films and, like, making podcasts about slasher. It's going to reach the finale, folks, but I know we got a bunch of horror movie fans out there, so we're not going to stop talking about horror movies.
Oh no, this is like, I mean, that's one of our, I mean, we have white
staples.
Taste. We have white taste, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of our, I don't want to say bread and butter, but that's like what we enjoy quite a bit.
I would say horror movie, science fiction, and like strange late night cartoons are probably the top three.
Right, which I haven't gotten a chance to yet. Have you seen the new Rocco cartoon on Netflix?
Did that thing just dropped, right?
It kind of dropped out of nowhere. I remember seeing a trailer. And I fucking, my Netflix didn't even, I forget, I read about it somewhere else. I'm like, why isn't my Netflix offering this to me? Like, they clearly have their algorithms fucked up. Of course I love Rocco. So I'll have to watch it. It's like only 45 minutes, so it's like two episodes.
You know what's screwed up? And I was going to mention that at the top of the hour, but I forgot. Is, I can't tell if this guy, like, going back to, like, obsessed fans, I can't tell if this dude... All right, his name is Tim. He's like a friend of Nick's. I can't tell if he's like our greatest fan or like our greatest critic, because he always chimes in on our posts on Facebook, and sometimes in the Raised by Television group.
Right.
But it's usually generally negative, or like it's like critical of the movie information that we're like putting.
It feels
out
like
there.
Correction a lot of times.
Correction, right? So then he's just like an uber binge watcher, right? Like, clearly we're engaging him in a conversation he wants to be a part of. He's interested enough to say something. But, like, tonight, for example, like about an hour before we did this, got on the air for the podcast, he was talking – we made a post about Peter Cushing, right? And tied it back to our Dracula thing that we did for Hammer Films, right? So then he comments on it and he goes, oh, you know, Peter Cushing's Doctor Who is not canon. And I go, what? You don't like alternate timelines? If it's not canon, then it has to exist in a different universe, right? And then, like, he's like, oh, well, he was just an Earthling scientist, blah, blah, blah. No, Peter Cushing played Doctor Who, so he's still a Time Lord, all right? He's still part of the whole thing, but obviously everything that happens in the Peter Cushing movie doesn't affect the TV series. So, if it's not canon, it would have to take place in its own, like, pocket universe, right? Like, the Doctor Who cinematic universe, if you will. The Doctor Who CU. Does that make sense?
I'll have to take your word, because I've never seen a single episode of Doctor Who.
You're fired. I never want to podcast with you ever again. No, just kidding. I didn't even
I'm
hold
too
that
curious.
No, you don't. You don't kill your ratings horse, ladies and gentlemen. I'm riding Dave through the fucking...
Now, hey, bingers, go binge it. That's the thing about binge watchers. There's so much stuff to binge. We can't binge at all. Oh, we try.
I'm reaching, like, an impossible level. There's so many things I want to go sit down and watch. Like, I have the Defenders of the Earth box set. I haven't got that. I have the Prince Valiant cartoon. I haven't got to that. I'd like to rewatch the Nintendo Power cartoons. What else is going on? I'd like to actually see that crazy, weird movie that you thought of that we never actually got to binge watch, even on the show. It has a weird name, like Veloso Terminator. Like, you came up with some weird movie one time when I was talking about Trancers. You came up with another movie. We never got around to doing that one.
Was it Robot Terminator?
It might have been Robot Terminator. Yeah,
it's not good. It's nuts, but it's not.
Like,
I don't know.
Good. Didn't they remake Maniac though? We should probably mention that. Didn't they remake Maniac with what's his name, the Hobbit?
Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
Which I did see a few. I saw it when it first came out. In fact, that's the first time I watched because I was hearing about that remake. I was like, I kind of want to see that, but I don't feel it's right to watch that and not see the original. And I think I watched them back to back one night, and I think I watched it too late because my memories of Maniac, the original, were like, eh, it was meh. But this I feel like that's happened a couple times during this season where I've rewatched something because it happened with Pieces. Where I'm like, okay, I clearly didn't watch it the right way, or I was too tired or something.
But you know what has the tone of like this Maniac movie, now that I think about it? Like this janitor film? That I pitched to you and that, like, this janitor thing, right? This, we have a slasher film, folks, that, like, is about these late-night janitors. But the tone of that movie is very similar to the tone of this Maniac movie. You know what I mean? I watch this and go, oh, man. Like, I see things, you know?
This movie is just dirty. I mean, in the best way. I mean, it feels like this is New York. Clearly, I've only been to New York once, and it's not like, you know, I've done the whole city. But, like, this feels, like, so different from the New York I got to see. Like, it's just worlds apart.
Oh, I see.
Like, 42nd Street in here feels like there's just dirt and grime everywhere, and now it feels like Disneyland.
What do you think is dirtier? Do you think New York City or Jersey? Like, the whole state of Jersey?
I can't say. I've never been to Jersey, so.
I tried their peaches recently. They were on sale at a store. I didn't even know New Jersey had peaches, first of all. Like, all of a sudden, New Jersey just started growing peaches. Like, when the hell did that happen? They're not known for peaches. You know what I mean? Or does, like, Georgia just have a stranglehold on the peach market, and then all of a sudden Jersey's like, no, we're gonna make a little inroad. Jersey peaches.
Sure.
They're terrible, by the way. Sorry, New Jersey. It's all right, though. I don't think we have any clusters of audience people in New Jersey, as far as I know.
But if we do, we love you. We love you.
No, I was about to say we just lost them, but okay.
Oh, wow.
Dave was talking about Maniac Cop. That's also could have easily been on this list, except for it's more supernatural, so maybe not. But I've noticed, like, these movies are so similar. Like, all these movies coming out at this time are so, like, we've said it a couple times now on, literally the last two episodes, and it might sound like a record on repeat by now, but it's like mommy issues, traumatic childhoods, teenagers who shouldn't be where they're going.
Right.
Clueless young people that don't take danger seriously, don't know what's happening.
Right.
And the next element is like, oh man, I'm losing my train of thought already. Sorry.
Well, this one breaks a couple of those molds. There's like no teenagers at all in this, which that's fine. There's no event that happened 30 years before where they want to party, but there is mommy issues. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah.
You know what? Secret connection between quite a few of these movies too is actually Tom Savini. Savini's done the makeup effects for this. He also acts in this, but he's done the effects for this, The Prowler, The Burning. I want to say one other one we've watched so far. And I think he might be showing up again in the future, but you know, we'll talk more about that when that time comes.
Sure. I was going to say, I love Maniac Cop, and I think there's three movies. That'd be cool to talk about that. I don't even know if we've talked. We might have talked about that before.
I don't think, well, at least I haven't. I mean, if it was Nick episode. But, yeah. After watching this, I'm like, maybe I want to go watch those. In fact, you know, we advertise Pluto a lot. Tubi a lot, although this wasn't on there. But then after I watched Maniac, I was just farting around on Pluto TV, and Maniac Cop 2 was on.
Yeah.
Of all things.
Yeah. But, like, one of those movies has Bruce Campbell. And then, but then they waste him on the second. It was either the beginning of part two or part three. He's dead immediately. So he's almost like the hero in one of them, and then he's gone. It's like, what?
Do they pull Terminator 2, make him the hero all of a sudden?
Oh man. Okay, I'm about to drop a big giant spoiler for the new Terminator. So if you're like Terminator,
wait, I don't know this. Well, don't spoil.
If you don't want to know this, then I don't know. I don't like. Don't listen to like the last 2 minutes of the show. They released like a new behind the scenes / featurette trailer or whatever for Dark Fate. And we all know that Arnold's supposed to be a human in this movie, right?
Yeah. Well, at least that's what I'm assuming, because he's aged.
Saw him in Terminator makeup.
So maybe that's like a...
His face was peeled back. He's a Terminator.
Could be like a dream sequence or something, or I don't know.
No, he was fighting the new T-1000 dude, or whatever, the T-8000, whatever the fuck they call this new one. 3000?
But I mean, the part where he's old and aged...
He is old and aged, but they're doing that new thing with the aged Terminator. I feel like Cameron is still borrowing the best elements from the last sequel that everybody supposedly hates. You know?
I'm amongst them. I don't remember the last one per se being bad. Just remember it being really forgettable.
Well, John Connor turns into a Terminator in that one, and then he's like a nanobite Terminator that's broken up in these little pieces. And in this new one, it's the same thing. The guy can produce an exoskeleton, but then also still be made out of nanobites or whatever. And then, there's an aged Terminator, right? There's an older version of the Terminator that's kicking around helping the humans. And, I thought Dark Fate was going to be, like, the guy that inspired all these Terminators somehow and had some connection to the Connors, you know? Here's where my mind is going with my imagination. I thought he'd, have, a romance and actually be, a stepdad to Connor or something, you know? Like, he'd be hooking up with the mom. He'd be like Sarah's husband or whatever that they talk about in Mexico or something. But
right.
Then there's another girl who's like a hero. We have no idea who she is, how she fits into the story. But I read that Furlong's back.
Yeah, he even said in an interview he's not in there that long, but he is in it.
Yeah.
And that girl, actually, I don't know the story yet because all I've seen are teasers. I didn't see this preview or the behind the scenes you're talking about, but that's fucking Mackenzie Davis. She's a good little actress. She did a great show called Halt and Catch Fire, which was not a big ratings hit, but like a kind of a cult TV show because it picked up steam after a while.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love everything Terminator. I just want it to be a good story. That's all.
I just, Salvation, it's funny is I'm a defender or an apologist for Terminator 3. Is it as good as 2? Absolutely. But if you take it on its own terms, I think it's a fucking fun movie.
Well, you forgot to say absolutely not. I think you were trying to say that it's not as good as T2, but it's still a good movie.
No, it is not as good as T2, but if you take it on its own merits, I think it's a fun movie. I'm an apologist for number 3. I know I'm in the minority, but Salvation sucked. I'm sorry. It was too self-serious and boring. And Terminator Genesis, I don't think was per se bad. It's just very forgettable. I couldn't tell you much about it, except there was a Asian American Terminator that not only.
Oh, well, and look out for iPhones. Your iPhone is what's good for you. Is that one?
I don't know.
That's that whole movie. No, really, seriously. They launch an iPhone in that movie and it's Skynet and it's going to kill you. But you can get on your iPhone, David?
What's that?
You can download all the latest episodes of Binge Watchers Podcast.
Yeah, you can on any of your podcatchers, as they call them.
Yeah.
The one I personally use is Podcast Addict, but there are many others.
Oh, man, I like CastBox. I'm on CastBox all the time.
Well, Spotify does it now, too, but, I don't know. I need a separate app for my podcasts and my music. I don't know why. I'm wacky like that.
Spotify has this new thing called Stations. I don't know if you played around with that, but that's almost a competition with iHeartRadio or something.
Well, I think I haven't played with this new thing, but I mean they've always had some kind of form of that, because if I type in 80s music, it'll be here's 80s radio, or I don't know.
what's that movie Kung Fu Survivor or something? What is that movie? And there's a song, and it's got Hasselhoff. People look that up. Just look up True Survivor. Everybody. If you're not going to watch any of the Summer Slash movies that we're talking about, go in and look up a song or play it on Spotify, whatever your music player is of choice. That's after you listen to three more episodes of our show. Then go listen to a song called True Survivor, which features David Hasselhoff. You'll be truly in the 80s groove at that point.